Entonces, que te estamos cantando, tatawa, kakio, fanwadisigaso, yan, ewa.
Tatawa, no agumaga, nak dallas was katnitsigasun.
You're listening to another episode of the Cree Chatter Hour. Welcome back, everybody. Hope you guys had a good week. You know, we did too. This weather is a little confusing, though. Mispunway, we to make a nuts, and earlier, you know, was utanaya, sinway, we to make a little bit breezy, and now it's snowing currently here in St. Paul, Alberta, Treaty 6 territory. I don't know where it is. I bet you it's probably snowing and Muskuchi was sky gunchy, babe.
Yeah, I say me on this stomach, kind of numpayin, you know, with this weather, you know, at Mispun to Nipun to Kisin to Sagasteo. So
all in one day, it feels like now. You know, there's quite a few events, though, that I noticed that are getting postponed because with this kind of weather comes all kinds of, you know, it's cold and flu season, plus COVID's still around. You guys, you know, be a thick, watch out. You guys be careful out there wherever you are. Make sure to sanitize, stay warm, and even if you're feeling under the weather, stay home.
Stay home, cook some meat to my boy, make sure you go see a...
Have some musky guap, boy.
Yeah. Muske guapoy mini que, or you know, make sure you go see a musky guiwino too, right? If you don't feel good,
whether you want to see a munya musky guiwino, yeah, like a white man doctor, yeah, like you have to make an appointment for, or just show up at a medicine man's, yeah, house.
Can we say wapskuyas, please?
Wapskuyas, yes. I forgot that's what you say, yeah, all the time now.
Yeah, if you want to see a musky guiwino wapskuyas or a musky guiwino sekpatasuyas, you know, one
or
of them too.
Anehyo musky guiwino,
yeah, musky guiwino, inu,
inu,
inu.
Inu. Inu. Your Indian name, too. But other than that, you know, I've been really enjoying this weather. I've been enjoying all the time I have at home as well, you know, taking care of Nitawa Simsuk. Today, though, we got asked to go sing at a Nicholas Ambrose Siga, so his school there. And he goes to school here in town, here in St. Paul, and it's actually like a... they even like bring the kids to church sometimes, and which is, you know, he's one of the very few Nahio kids there because Salt Lake stopped their buses coming to town.
So he has no choice to go there,
but he smudges his stuff. But it was he goes to that school because it's the closest to our house.
Yeah.
The cool thing about that is his brother went to school there at the same time, and they talk about, you know, our new tau is Jesus.
Wasagi tax, bro, Jesus.
Yeah, so he has lots of questions, but he understands a lot of our Nahio spirituality, like smudging and the way we pray in our ceremonies, because that's the way we bring him up. But he, you know, they don't force that on the kids there, but it's an option for them to have like a religion class. And he's not there yet, but he still sees like them talk about it or whatever here or there. It's cute, though.
It is, because the questions he asks, again, like we raise our kids to have respect and love. We don't ever discourage them. We don't ever try to manipulate, you know, their growing mind. Yeah. So like our son comes home and, you know, he'll say cheeky things to us. Like he says, I love Jesus. I'm going to be with Jesus. You know, and knowing, I mean, not that
he
we
say. He doesn't say he loves Jesus. Well, he'll ask about Jesus. Yeah. And he's never been like to church because we don't go to church, yeah, or anything, which is kind of a little bit of a predicament. Because our kids in a school where sometimes they'll bring the kids maybe once every couple of months to, yeah, church. But he learns about that. And he asks the same thing about what's the difference between the creator and Jesus. And
like, yeah. Or he even said to me, well, Dad, when this world ends, I'm going to be Jesus. He just says real crazy things like that, my kid.
But you know, it's a learning thing for him. It's actually a really good school. They do imply a lot of our indigenous ways there, like with smudging, and you know, they invited us to come and sing and, you know, Cree classes and stuff like that there. I know the actual population of Nahio Hawassasuk there is pretty low right now, but usually, like when the buses did come to town, they'd have quite a few Nahio Hawassasuk there, some Cree kids. It's been quite a month, though, you know, so far we've only been here maybe about a week. And November, it seems to go by fast. But, you know, today, talking about Remembrance Day stuff, you know, the word that we were looking for, the word for like what we would refer to our soldiers or in our culture, we would refer to the people who went to war as our warriors. So Napegasawinoak, our warriors, or Napegasawinu, as a warrior. And it was really cool because I got to share, me and Dallas got to share about the songs we shared at my son's school today, because they did have veterans there. And then we talked about how our flag song is something that we honor our veterans even at powwows with. And then they had me sing like a remembrance song and all that. So it was really cute.
Well, speaking about, you know, truth and reconciliation, I'm so glad and so thankful that, you know, these schools do take the time to, you know, recognize those certain days and really get, you know, our kids and our Wasaks involved, right?
So actually, Remembrance Day is kind of celebrated everywhere.
Absolutely.
But to include like Indigenous, like I was telling you guys, the population of the Nahyo kids at the school is really small right now, but they still included us. But it was really nice, and I even got invited to go speak at the other veterans gathering that they have here in St. Paul this weekend.
Well, you know, speaking, I'll ask you an honest question, Nawigimag. And growing up about Novemberance Day.
We don't call it Novemberance Day. Is that a Frog Lake thing?
It's a Frog Lake thing, though. But, you know, speaking about those days, even for myself, but I'm going to ask you this question. Did you know that there was, you know, we had our own soldiers, code talkers going to wars back in the day?
Yeah, you know what? I heard about that in fact, probably most of the Indigenous warriors that went that joined the military, where they used that. A lot of people recognize the Dene code talkers, the Navajo code talkers, but we had a lot of Cree code talkers, even in Anishinaabe and all of the different languages up here. They utilized them. Why? Because that was something that the whoever their enemy was, they couldn't figure that out. They couldn't
look out, my enemies, I'm coming for you.
But you know, if speaking of, you know, some good Indigenous music, you guys, you know, that you could enjoy, especially when it comes to this. Dallas was singing a song there. Well, he knew a song. It's Black Lodge. Is that Soldier Boy? They recorded that song. There's all our flag songs. Igua. But there's a lot there. Point of this whole start of this conversation, our son goes to a school where that's they do have like some religious stuff. It's not like a Catholic or Christian school or anything, but because it is on the grounds of where the church is, sometimes, you know, they bring their kids there if you want to take part in a religion class. But yeah, our son was asking us about Jesus and the creator, stuff like that. Yeah, but we got to sing at his school, which was really nice.
It was really nice. It was really nice to see the expression on his face. Because I know Nawigimagan, we got to watch you sing first, me and my Nitans, Ava. And we were looking over at Ambrose, and he was just really, you know, had this, you know, this facial expression of, you know, of happiness. And I was really beautiful.
I really wanted to bring him up there. Our son, he's a really good singer, Nikosis. But, you know, the cool thing about the music is, and why I'm glad we went there today was, the majority of a school, I'd say about 95% of it is Munyawak. And when we sang, when I sang that first song, it was really like everybody listened. And you know how kids are in an assembly, you know, sometimes you can't, you know, people get restless, and they were a little bit doing that. But when we started singing it, you could hear a pin drop in there, and that was really cool. And that's why I try to make sure we explain things and share things from our culture that the little ones can understand, and they seem to really appreciate that.
I was just going to say the same thing. You did a wonderful job today with your presentation, especially when the language, you know.
I always talk in Nahiwiwin first whenever we go to anywhere, and then I'll translate it later. I think it's important. I think even if there's nobody there who speaks it, or, you know, like I said, majority there in Munyawak, that they hear it anyways. It's almost like a way of acknowledging where we come from and this land that we're on. And it's a way, you know, I like when my kids can see and witness that too.
This land is your land.
Yes, boy.
This land is my land.
But you know, going back to talking about, you know, a lot of our Napegasa Inuak that came from our communities here, it's a really important day even for all of our communities to acknowledge all the warriors that went to war over the years and all of our veterans. I know in Sad Lake, they used to do on Remembrance Day, we'd go out, there's a plaque outside the complex with everybody who was a veteran and went to World War I, II and all that, and they read them out. And then I remember one year I had to do a In Flanders Field poem in front of there. Did you have to do anything like that, Frog Lake?
I did. I mean, Flanders Field quite a bit, yeah. But mostly they would let the kids who were like more serious and really good speaking, and
not somebody who messed around like you.
Crazy, man. Like I was one of those really rank res kids. So, and yeah, I got to see a lot of people do the Flanders Field there for sure.
Did you ever get to do it?
No, I didn't.
I was one of those kids that got to do it.
I believe
it. I believe it. But, you know, we have a really good interview today, too. And it was somebody we actually wanted to try interview a little earlier on, around the time we interviewed Kevin. Another really awesome inspiration for language learning. Somebody was really knowledgeable, too. And I really appreciated the time that he gave us. And Dallas got to interview him actually just today. And I know you guys will enjoy his interview. I did when I got to listen to it again. We have Mr. Jason Williams of Onijikskwapoonik, Sad Lake, actually my relative too. And he shares a lot of really, really awesome knowledge in there. And I know he was talking about being immersed. You know what? I'm not going to give away the interview. You guys will listen to it and we'll touch back base right after it. Again, though, this Jason, he's really inspirational to myself when it comes to that, you know, coming from my community. And I know he does work at Sipitaganip now with the language program. Awesome story, awesome interview Dallas did with him. I hope you guys stick around and listen to it. I know Dallas had his first impression. Actually, I've known Jason my whole life. You know, he's a relative of Nigawis. Igwa, being younger and growing up in Sad Lake, you know, my Nutawi, my dad, used to, Matutsan, he used to sweat a lot with the Whiskey Jack family. So I knew he was my relative. I also knew he spoke Nehiwewin. And, you know, I always say, like, when we hear Nehiwewin and when I hear other people who are speaking it, it's really inspirational for me because I want to be like that. I want to be somebody who they hear me speak and it inspires them as well. And when you hear that language, no matter what language or tribe you come from, hearing the language, even if you don't quite understand, it feels like a hug. It feels like home. And I think that's what's important about talking to our language speakers and seeing what helped them, because everybody has a different story when it comes to their language journey. What about you? What do you take from all these people that we've been interviewing, language speakers?
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm starting to realize, Nuituagan, that with these interviews, they are very, they always talk about they've been submersed in this language.
And they have different ways of learning it, right?
And absolutely. Even with my language journey, I'm starting to realize that we need to be around it more, not just with interviews. I think the more and more, because I listened to Jay speak, wonderful speaker. I listened to Shirley last week, and wonderful speaker, Lorraine, Kevin. So the ones that we've been interviewing.
Every day.
And all four of them spoke about being submersed in the language, just hearing it on a daily 24/7, which is a rarity now. But I think, you know, they talk quite a bit about technology and the use of technology. So maybe it's something.
I think it has its pros and cons. Like for people who don't have access to speakers, it's good to find words on there. But language is something you need to hear in person. It's something you need to hear yourself speak every day. It's one thing to read about it or hear somebody on a video speaking the language and showing you it, but it's practice. Like even how, even like with myself, I'll use myself as an example. The last time I was actually in actual language class and really speaking it all the time and trying to use it in our home was maybe about 2 or 3 years ago before the pandemic. And because I kind of took a break from trying to practice it every day, I noticed myself struggling and I have to remember words again. It's like reviewing. That's why they say you got to stay on it. You got to be persistent. You got to immerse yourself. You got to practice it. Otherwise, it's just that much more work. It's like taking steps back. You're gonna have to find your way back to that level. It's a muscle. It's like a muscle. The more you practice it, the stronger it gets.
And you know, even with our show, you know, where we are today, 2 years into our show, going into our third year, I've come to realize that you just spoke wonderfully about being immersed in our language. I've come to realize that even with our introductions, it seems to be getting shorter and shorter and shorter.
You were saying that. I still add to mine, but it's not even just introductions. Everyday conversational Cree is the key. Not just saying the same stuff over and over, because I see for us people who have put in the work, but it's almost like taking shortcuts when you're doing the same thing over and over and not expanding your vocabulary. And that's why shows like ours, the Cree Chatter Hour, especially for our beginner speakers, we try to give you some words and some phrases that you could use and add to your vocabulary. And I think that's the key here. But you guys stick around for the interview right after these messages.